This is Dave Gloatz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky, who writes a weekly column for the Chicago Reader called The Works. Ben's column on February 21st, 2008, is titled Just Stupid Enough to Be True, and he's here with me to tell the rest of the story. Ben, your article examines an instance in the February 5th primary election when voters were given an electronic voting stylus instead of a black marker to mark their paper ballots, and they were told by an election judge that the stylus was a magic pen that wrote with invisible ink. Based on what I've read in your article and elsewhere, this seems simply like a case of stupidity rather than vote tampering. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this was an instance of someone trying to steal votes or trying to thwart one candidate on behalf of another candidate. I think this was just, you said stupidity. maybe that's an apt word, I guess. Yeah.
How did you find out about this?
On election day, I got a call from one of the two women who were protesting. Angela, I believe, called me. They were calling reporters. You know, she called me, and they also called the Tribune and the Sun-Times. And so I said, oh, well, this definitely merits looking into, because I had the feeling, Dave, that it's going to be one of those stories that'll go down in folklore and Chicago history, like only in Chicago would anybody say a magic pen that writes in invisible ink, and only in Chicago would anybody believe it, and which, by the way, is not true at all, that only in Chicago would somebody believe it.
What do you mean?
I mean, I do believe, as I've told you many times, that Chicago's electorate is kind of simple and easily bamboozled. I completely believe that. Else, why would they put up with everything they put up with? But I don't think we're that much different than voters elsewhere. I've never done the study of voters elsewhere in other cities as I have in Chicago, but I can't imagine anybody's that much more sophisticated than Chicago, but maybe I'm wrong. The problem is, what do you do when an authority figure tells you something that you know cannot possibly be true? And that's the fundamental issue at stake here in this story. And I don't know if people in any other city would be that much different. I mean, people in authority are always giving us bad information. It happens all the time. And then you have to decide, what are you going to do?
So do you feel like these voters were exceptional in their reaction? Because they didn't just accept it?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who defies authority is exceptional. The significant point is that they should be applauded, the two women, Amy and Angela, who defied authority and wouldn't accept what a person in authority was telling them because it made no sense. You could apply that to many different programs across the city. I would say a good number of the things that the city tells us about how the city operates makes no sense. I believe it's a good faith effort that people have. For instance, environmental issues. Chicago has labeled itself the green city and its mayor, the green mayor. I don't look into the environmental issues all the time, but I think that's preposterous given our recycling program. Most of the city's still doing the blue bag program, which is a proven failure. So that's just a small example, or actually a large example, depending on your point of view, of how we're constantly going along with whatever it is that people tell us, mostly because we don't have the energy or the interest to stand up and defy them. These two women did.
So maybe they should be getting some kind of citizenship award.
Yeah, right. They're going to get the powers that be in the city don't want to encourage active citizenry. They don't want people to show up to meetings. They don't want people to understand how the city works. They don't want people to question. They probably don't even want people to vote. Look at how many times the incumbents use this convoluted election system, we've talked about this before, to remove potential opponents from the ballot. That keeps voter turnout down. They don't want you participating in government. They don't want you to challenge authority. They want you to just go along.
Well, even more fundamentally than that, some people think that the way that Americans are made to vote in itself, it makes it hard. For example, scheduling election day during a business day when most workers have to work and most students are in school rather than weekends.
Okay.
I took a look at other countries to see what they do to make things easier. And voting takes place on weekends and national holidays in countries like Australia, Germany, Poland, Switzerland. Voting by mail, and not just as a special absentee circumstance, is allowed in Canada, the UK, Germany, Japan, Spain, and even in places like Finland and New Zealand, you could vote at the post office instead of going to some place that, you know, you only go to every once every couple of years, and they may have changed it since the last time.
Yeah.
Those are some more fundamental examples how we make it hard here.
Well, it's funny how they do things. It's like this very passive-aggressive manner they have where they pretend that they're advancing democracy. So following up on your point, we now get to vote early. You don't go to your regular polling booth. You go to select sites throughout the city, and you can vote early at your convenience. You can vote on weekends. So the people in charge would say, we are bending over more backwards to make it easier to vote. At the same time, the entire system is rigged in favor of the incumbents, including getting people on the ballot. So it's sort of like they make a gesture toward open democracy, and then, of course, working like crazy to defeat the purpose. And just similar to the environment. In the end, it's just a label that really has no meaning.
Right. Given that you write often about government malfeasance, do people regularly contact you after elections to tell you about incompetence or cheating?
Yeah, I get it. I get it before the elections, actually, more. An election is sort of like a trial where you have two adversaries going at it, and the candidates and their campaign managers are like lawyers, and they're advocating a cause. And so one of the things they'll do is they'll overplay the malfeasance of their incumbent. So what I have to learn to do is try to figure out if it's a genuine malfeasance or if it's just somebody trying to exaggerate a bit.
I wonder if articles like yours about voting problems make certain people less likely to vote. For example, people who are reluctant to vote because they suspect the system is rigged. What do you think about that?
Well, I hope not. I would doubt that that's the case, but you never know. Maybe there's one or two people who would read an article like that and say, oh, I'm never going to vote again because what difference does it make? I would hope that would not be the reaction. I mean, at some point, you have to have faith in the system. It's not like, to go back to my recycling example, for years, I put my recyclables in a blue bag, even though I had no faith whatsoever that this was going to be recycling, and it was just sort of a exercise in futility. In fact, I felt like at times really ridiculous, as though the city were laughing at me behind, look at this, here's another one, Joe. But I did it. I don't know why I did it. I just did it, okay? Because I wanted to do my part.
It seemed like the right thing.
Even though I had no faith in the city. To a degree, some might say, you know, I have no faith in the election process, but I'm going to vote anyway. We haven't come to the point with Chicago elections where basketball fans, their attitude toward the NBA and the referees. So many basketball fans I know absolutely are convinced that games are fixed, that the NBA's corporate office wants certain teams to win certain games, and the word gets down the referees and they make the calls accordingly. As far as I can tell, there's nothing to substantiate this. It's just a general feeling that a lot of sports fans have. The columnist Mike Royko used to write about it occasionally when he was, you know, writing his columns. And so I think we're not quite there, but we're approaching there with the citizens' attitude toward voting, particularly with these new vote counting machines that don't leave a paper trail. And I think there's a lot of people who just think it's fixed. That's whoever is the computer geek who has access to the vote counting mechanism is adjusting it. There's really no way, I don't know, to disprove that since they don't leave a paper trail. So then you have to ask yourself, well, why don't they leave a paper trail? And I'm supposed to say, well, we're trying to save the environment. So it all comes back. But I think there is a tremendous amount of skepticism. The voting turnout is so low in Chicago. I think there's just this general attitude, you can't beat them anyway. And even if you do, the person you elect will be as big a bum as the person that you kick out. Every now and then, the citizenry gets so upset at the particular arrogance of one or two officials, and they say enough, and they vote that person out. That's not so much, in my opinion, a sign of respect for the challenger so much as just utter contempt for the person they just couldn't bear to have represent them anymore. And that happens occasionally. But by and large, you know, we're just like sheep.
Well, I hope that these sorts of sounds we're making may wake some of the sheep up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, thanks for making those sounds, Ben.
Okay, very good, Dave.
I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.